Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the heart of the mu'min. Allah ta'ala has made the heart of the believer very beautiful and nice and colorful. And Allah ta'ala has made it, the qualities of the heart, such that we cannot see the examples of such a thing in this world. In such a way, the heart of a mu'min, of a believer, is haseen and good and beautiful, that when the nur, the light of iman, emanates from the heart, then it reaches to the arsh, to the throne of Allah. And the qualities, the good characteristics, and the extreme levels and status and uruj and closeness and status and nearness to Allah, and the power that Allah Ta'ala has instilled all of these things collectively into the heart of a mu'min. It's a collection of husn and jamal. It's a collection, the heart of a believer is a collection of goodness, of beautiful fragrance and jamal and excellency. But the dirt and the impurity of the world and the waste of time, you can say activities and discussions and non-beneficial actions that are surrounding us. For example, you're wearing something very nice, a very nice attire, and you get to somewhere where there's a lot of smell and mud and splashes and dirt, then what will happen to your clothes? Only two things can emanate. Either you will try to save your clothes in such an extreme way that your clothes will be saved from the dirt, or your clothes will become dirty. It will become very dirty and very smelly, that there will be smell from your clothes and from your body, and all of that exterior nice appearance will finish. In the same way, the heart of a believer, of a mu'min, is beautiful and nice and clean and full of goodness and purity and emanates excellency. And just like I said to you a few minutes ago, that the mu'min, his heart has a high level, but in the dirt and the impurity of this dunya, in the futile actions, waste of time, discussions and actions, there are two solutions. Either we protect it and we preserve the value of the heart, or we contaminate it and we just let it go and say, let it be, and it becomes dirty. And all of the good characteristics and qualities Allah Ta'ala has put inherent naturally into a mu'min's heart, they all get wasted and are lost. So alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, everyone who are listening and who is here present, everyone is mu'mineen. With the fadl of Allah, Allah Ta'ala, just like He praised the heart, the qalb of the mu'min, our hearts are like this. But we, if we're not careful, we don't protect our hearts. If we just glance in the whole of our generation and the mahal and the environment, we see different ways of hearts. We don't see those qualities, the glow and the spark and the shine and the nur in the hearts. And what we realize is that we didn't protect our hearts. We didn't protect our hearts, and we have destroyed our good qualities, our characteristics. We've wasted the nur that Allah Ta'ala gave to us in the heart as a Muslim, as a mu'min. We don't pay attention to this point. We don't really care about this point, that what our heart should be like, how we should feel, how we should be with other people, how we should exercise ourselves, demonstrate ourselves. And if a mu'min is careful on these things, then his maqam becomes high, baland, high status. Allah Ta'ala has put such great qualities and attributes, characteristics in the heart of a mu'min that we cannot imagine. Now the heart, a good and a clean heart of a believer, when the human being protects his heart and he makes effort and he works hard to keep it clean and don't get spoilt and get the splashes from society, then Allah gives one very high level reward for this heart. And the reality is that due to that quality, a person can realize, due to this sign, a person can measure, is my heart good? Am I a good person or am I a bad person? You can't recognize from your external self. It's internally that you can measure, am I good or am I bad? So that sign internally will tell me and you and each and everyone else, am I a good or a bad person? That's such a good sign that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. It's a special reward for those who have a good heart. Those whose hearts are good, after working hard, making effort, Allah Ta'ala bestows His reward and treasures on that heart. It's a great, fantastic reward on the heart of a believer. And all of the rewards that come onto the heart Allah Ta'ala says the speciality of the heart then comes into being, especially on the heart. And that reward that comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that's something that falls into the heart, drops into the heart, bestows in the heart, and that is shafqat and rahmat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah's shafqat and Allah's rahmat, rahm, mercy. So this jazba that Allah Ta'ala creates, Allah gives him as a reward or her as a reward. And if a person, his heart is clean and good and pure and sensible, then Allah will more and more give that person rahm, mercy, and the shafqat and the love into the heart of that person. Automatically the heart will start to fill with these things. And to recognize if there's a good person or a bad person, you will see that is there rahmah in this person? Is there shafqat in this person? Whose hearts are hard, where there's no rahm, no mercy, no good feeling towards others. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the person who does rahm for others, on others, mercy, he will go to paradise. One companion said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that even if we are merciful to animals, good towards animals, and kind to animals, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even to animals, to anything in creation, whatever you are merciful towards, Allah will give you paradise as the reward. So who is this reward for? Those whose hearts are good. Not normal people. People whose hearts are spoilt. They don't demonstrate rahmah. They don't know how to be merciful to others, or loving towards others, or caring towards others, or considerate towards others. They go in the opposite direction. So if the heart improves, then a person gets close to Allah through rahmah, through shafqat to other human beings and creation, and he gets closer to Allah, closer to Allah. And if a person's impure heart and he is far from Allah, he becomes like an animal, worse than the animals, and the worst human being in the world, the worst person who doesn't want to be known by others. If we look in history, such people you will see in history, who they hit others, how astaghfirullah, they imprisoned people or they killed people. Are these people human beings who treated other human beings worse than animals? And because the raham comes out of that, when the raham comes out of the heart, mercy, then oh, nothing is of use. Nothing is of use. The hadith, the beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, the Rasulullah ﷺ said, in my ummah, the people from my ummah, my nation, that they will create excess on their, they won't go to paradise due to excess of their prayer and ibadat, but it will be due to the excess of the peace and the purity in their hearts that they will attain the rewards. So this is not the sign of good and bad mu'min. This is not the sign of worship, that his mouth is dry and he's worshipping. Yeah, so his mouth is swollen and he doesn't smile and he doesn't even look at anybody with love or muhabbat, and he's a master of sujood and prostration and reading the Quran, and he's got his numbers and his recognition in the society for worship. Because the Rasulullah said, all of these attributes are not with the physical worship, it's the work and the effort on the heart. If a person makes effort on his heart, then the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shafqat of Allah would be seen in the heart of that person. Shafqat and rahmah. Now if we see that in the whole world, that it controls humanity and society and the environment that we live in. Allah Ta'ala said that, I'll give you a little small sign from Allah of this ni'mah, of rahmah, of mercy. That if we see this in the form of the mother and her love. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not to insert rahm into the heart of the mother, if Allah had not inserted rahmah and shafqat into the heart of the mother, would our mother have reared us and brought us up and cared for us? But Allah ta'ala instilled and inserted love into the heart and mercy into the heart of the mother. Just a small portion, very minute percentage, Allah Ta'ala inserted into the heart, the bosom of the mother. And if you see the kamal, that so much love and mercy does the mother have for the child. As soon as the child is born and he places his mouth on the breast of the mother, then inside there's no cow there, is there? Or some goat that, oh, the child is sucking and the milk is coming automatically. No, Allah Ta'ala says it's the love that transforms into, it's the rahmah and the love of the mother, that the blood within the body, suddenly it transforms into milk. Tell me, is there any factory in the world that you can do this? Where the flesh and the blood transforms into the milk, that you put blood into the factory, into the machine, and it converts into milk. I don't know any factory. If you know the machine, tell me the manufacturer that you can buy this from. There are many other ways of making milk, there is no doubt. But from blood and flesh, show me the transformation into milk. Only one thing can do that, and that's the rahmah and the love that Allah instills into the heart of the mother. That's what makes it subhanAllah. And it becomes the resource for the child. Vitamins and proteins and iron and all the health energy. It's not that the woman has to be healthy or big. You go into the villages in poor countries. The women, they don't even have half a piece of bread to eat in the day. So what vitamins will that woman have in her body? Blood and vitality and energy. What will come out of her bones? But subhanAllah. Allah's rahm and mercy. That due to Allah's rahm and mercy and love, the woman is instilled into her and she allows the child to be nourished. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Father, for example, if Allah didn't put shafqat rahmah into the father's heart, would the father keep the child in the house? Even the most disobedient of children who comes home, the son, the father puts his head down and says, okay, I'll forgive you, but don't do this again next time. What is this? This is love and mercy. If you take love and mercy out of the hearts of the mothers and fathers, what will happen in the world today? Think for a moment. It will become a weird place. Where will the child get milk from? Who will come up, get up in the night, mother, and sing the rhymes to the child and embrace the child and stay up all night, and the father looking after the children and looking out for them, and etc. No, this is not a small thing. Allah Ta'ala says, when I give rahm and shafqat in the hearts of the believers, that even the part of the body where there's the flesh and the blood, it transforms into the milk to give to the children. So when a person looks after his heart or her heart and makes the heart peaceful and clean and works hard on the heart and looks after the heart, preserves the heart and protects the heart, just like you have clean clothes and you leave and you go to a dirty place and there's mud and splashes and contamination and dirt and impurities, and you save yourself from that. And those people who save their hearts from the dirt of the world, from the evil of the world, because the dunya is dirty. So if you protect your heart from the dirt of the dunya, the first thing Allah will put into your heart is shafqat, is the love, the quality of love. When love comes into the heart, then a great quality and attribute comes into a person. The Allah Ta'ala says that due to the love of this shafqat, the all the people in the world start to love that person. Allah Ta'ala says himself, SubhanAllah, that you are merciful on the earth and I am being merciful to you in the heavens. Today you are seeing my creation with rahmah, mercy. Allah says to each and everyone else, Allah says, when you come to me after death, see how I will be merciful to you, Allah says. But who gets this? Those people who understand their hearts, who work on their hearts. And for us, we think that the work on the heart, making effort on the heart, purifying the heart, improving the heart, we say, oh, what a waste of time. When our eyes get weak, cataract, we go and have an operation. Oh, glasses, when the teeth start to hurt, we go to the dentist. If the finger gets cut, we go to the A&D. We go and do transplants for kidney, liver. Ah, but if only how a person becomes a human being, due to which a human being becomes a human being, due to that organ, when a person gets close to Allah. But the heart, we don't care about it. I don't know what's the reason. We think the heart is a waste of time. And our characters are in front of us, that were Muslims like this before, like they are now. I told you the heart of the Muslim is clean, pure, considerate, kind. Look at the shan, the quality of a Muslim. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha narrates a hadith. This is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And what happened was that some people came to the company or to the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ikram, or the noble companions, and some nomads, villagers came. When they came and saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked a question. And they requested, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you, do you kiss children? Do you give love to children? Because they would have seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embracing children, giving love to children, kindness to children. You know that Rasulullah loved the children. And look, if he was the rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the universe, then people knew about Rasulullah's life. Look at the animals and creation and human beings, everything. Rasulullah had special mercy to everything. And it's special with Hassan and Hussein. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to play with them and exchange love with them and give them muhabbat. And everyone in the world used to see that if they were in the prostration, Hazza Hussain is like, it made the Prophet as a horse, and somebody's coming from underneath the stomach, and Rasulullah in sajda, and they're racing. One's going from underneath, one above. One's going above, one's going underneath. Both are playing, and one's jumping off. And Rasulullah just stayed there in sujood, long sajda, for letting the kids play. And he was thirsty. And Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu was thirsty, and Rasulullah didn't give him water. He said, Hussain, here. And Rasulullah gave him his own tongue to suck. SubhanAllah, imagine the fountains in Jannah that will come out from Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu. Amazing. The love and the consideration that was given to him. And today, what is the hal of our children? That strictness is given to the children most. What happens? And then it sits into their mind that my father was very strict. And I gave an interview to some people. that in our lives, who are the people who spoil us? It's our parents who never cared for us, who never considered us. We used to speak and they used to just shun us, reject us. Oh, get away from me. And there was no love and no consideration. Never did he embrace us. Never did he play with us. Never did he joke with us. Never did he give us any time. Never did he love us. Just straight away, what number shoe shall I take out? And he used to speak from the shoes. He used to hit us with the shoes. And in the kids, when they're kids, there's play and you can say total, like the concept and the thought, they will jump up and down and break glasses and furniture. Because the mothers and the fathers, when the child gives a loss, then the child, when there's anger, the child gets scared. And after getting scared, then he leaves home. The child leaves home. He says, oh, I know what's going to happen to me now. Is this not in our history? What's happened? They run away from home due to the fear. And when children, when they grow up, then we claim, oh, you don't give me money. You know, I grew you up and I made you this and I made you that due to my efforts. And then they speak. The parents speak to the children. And the reason, because there's no love and there's no shafqat and the heart didn't accept. And such we see examples, if we look around us, how every evil we will persevere. We will persevere all the difficulties and all the losses. In other words, upside down, everything, our environment, Islam has gone upside down. Totally it's been disintegrated and we are sitting there waiting, waiting. Has it ever happened that a person has an illness and will he stay quiet when he's got an illness? Straight away he will go. And science, medicine, if, for example, the flu epidemic breaks out, then the scientists and the doctors, they do research and they analyze and they look for the root cause and the reason that why is the flu spreading, the germs and the bacteria. They go to the laboratory and they look under the microscope and they research and they go to the depths of where's this flu epidemic and this disease come from. Then they make the antibacteria and the antibiotics and they make the medicine and they grab hold of that disease. Now today in our society, especially Islamic society, in Islam, our condition, if we look today, that we see murder, fighting, blood, beating, quarreling, disputes to our own. Because you know the animal doesn't know, is it my child or is it somebody else's child? So the animal eats its own child. When an animal is hungry, he even eats its own child. It doesn't look around. The snake, it gave birth to the snake and he eats it. Has no understanding. Is it my child that was given birth by me? Is this not the case today? That a father and a son, that he is standing there, the son, he is shooting his father. He's shooting his mother on a little point. Oh, he didn't listen to me. I'll take the bullet. And he kills the parents. Have we ever thought that what is the reason for this? Nobody thinks. Why is there the clash? And we are all busy in our life. We don't know what is our deen, our religion. What did our Nabi Muhammad ﷺ come to teach us? What was his akhlaq? And as soon as we get far from the deen, from what? From the heart. That if we don't look towards the heart, we don't pay attention to the heart, we don't know what are the reasons for the destruction in society. Nobody tells us. Nobody explains that the reason is that if we put this malady in the laboratory of the societal problems we are today, let's look under the microscope of the Quran and the Hadith, because this is the greatest laboratory, the most powerful. And if we dissect all our deeds, then we'll see a real noise and an answer that he whose heart is peace, then his life will be peace. Yes, and he automatically will become good. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi said that rahma, mercy, the person who has mercy to others will go into paradise. And then the tashri, the commentary and the laboratory tells us not that you start to look after yourself, you worry about yourself, you have mercy to yourself. Oh, I didn't eat food, I didn't drink water, and I clashed against my own ego and my nafs, and I want to sit in the cold because I want heat, etc. No, the person who has rahma on other people, who exercises rahma on other people, how can I save this person from cold? He's feeling too hot, he's hungry, how can I feed him? How can I cure this person's sickness and help him in his disease? What did Rasulullah ﷺ come to teach us? The qawm, the sahaba who were prepared for living in society, this was the qawm. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, I'll tell you one of his events. Consideration and kindness. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu writes this hadith, this event. And in the night, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was wandering around in society. What was he doing? He was wandering around in society to look at the people, their lives. This was his duty, Amirul Mu'mineen. So he saw from far that there was a group of people, not necessarily they were Jews or Muslims or who, he wasn't worried about that, who they were, what religion. He saw a group of people from far. And You know, for example, groups of people, they go for business. It was like a caravan. When he saw the caravan that was passing by, they must have had wealth and money. He thought, okay, let them pass by. But what did he do? He went behind them. He looked after them, behind them. And he saw in the darkness, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, that he came from one place and they both bumped into each other. He said, where are you going? He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going after this caravan. He said, I came to see this caravan as well. This group of people, look at this tarbiyah. He said, why have you come to see these people? He said, I thought that these people are travelers, they're going somewhere. So I thought in my heart, Hazrat Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu said, that I will protect this caravan and look after them in the night. You know, take guard for them, like a security guard. And Hazrat Umar said, I also thought this. And then they said, oh, let's do it together. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, kindness. And they did ask, are these Jews or Sikhs or Christians? What's their religion? What do they do? Oh, let's kill them. Oh, good opportunity. Astaghfirullah. Did they think like this? No. They weren't worried about their religion or their creed background. What did they do? Both of these Sahaba, they sat down all night long so that an animal doesn't come, a human being doesn't come and steal their goods or pester them or give them pain or discomfort. Imagine, all night long when Fajr time came, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu said, oh, now we are Muslim, it's our Salah time, so get up and pray because we have to go now. And by chance, they were Muslims. They were Muslims at the time of Fajr and they departed from there. Hazrat Umar departed from there. And no favor, no payment, no return of favor. Why? Because this was the tarbiyah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. This was the Islam, the purity of their heart, the tarbiyah, their conditioning, their improvement, and their shafqat and kindness and mercy to others. Subhanallah. So it wasn't just about ibadah, worship. It wasn't due to their salah. And we see now as well, those people, there are many people who pray salah, long salah and worship. But the reason was that they had protected their heart from the dirt of the world. Because Allah said, this world is a test for you, O believers, and you have to live in this world. And there's impurities everywhere. But how do you have to live in the world? That your hand may become dirty, and dirt and soil may come onto your body, your hands, but don't let your heart become dirty. Don't let your hearts become dirty. Dust it down every day. And dust will come around your heart every day. A layer, a film of due to your eyes, your hands, your body, your mouth. Your external organs, when you live in the world, will bring in the dust onto your heart. So our job is, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَفْلُونَ كُلُّ شَيْنْ سَكِينَةً سَكِينَةُ الْقَلْبِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Rasulullah said, there's no washing agent for your heart. Nothing in the world. So you need to pay attention and protect your hearts. There's no washing agent. There's no cleaning agent. But Allah Ta'ala has given one tool. One washing agent that your heart cannot be washed or purified by anything. The dirt, the dust will come layer by layer. Label it. And the example of the heart is you do one sin, it joins, it contaminates, it sticks to the heart. Eventually the heart totally becomes black. Rasulullah said in hadith, do a sin, one black dot on the heart. Do a sin again, black dots, so totally become black one day. For example, you put your car outside, you bought a white car. How did your car become dirty and dark? Because I bought it white, but it became dark. I never washed it, never cleaned it. And the color has changed. The rust and the discoloration comes onto the car. Isn't it? This happens. So if your windows, if the window cleaner comes, if he doesn't come, there'll be dust and they'll become like the rust will come onto the window, and for example on the glass there will be dirt, and after some days you won't be able to see each other on the other side. I'm speaking about the car, because the car's parked outside. If you don't wash the windows, and then the spider will come, it will climb onto your windows, and then the web will be cast between the mirror and the windows. When you're sitting in the car, you'll see that your car, you've got a spider web, and then the person thinks, why? Because I didn't wash the car. And definitely there will be like a spider or a contamination that's cast its web on my heart, because I don't wash my heart. I don't clean my heart. How much dhikr have I done? How many times do I remember Allah? How many times have I gone and sat with those who are the Ahlullah, who do dhikr of Allah? We don't think about this. We think deen is a joke. We think it's a competition. Imagine what kind of human beings we are. We don't even know that what is the cure for our diseases. What is the cure that Rasulullah ﷺ gave to us for our dirty heart? All our lives that Rasulullah ﷺ, he gave the education and the mashayikh, the waliyallah, the awliyallah today, who have all their life, they work hard and they learn and educate, then they train and they educate others. Clean your heart. You have the scholars who teach deen, you have the mufassireen who teach Quran, you have the muhaddithin who teach hadith, you have the experts of the Quran who teach hifth and tajweed and tafsir and commentary. These are the mufassireen, the experts of Quran, those who write the Quran, the mufassireen, the muhaddithin who record and distribute the hadith, and those who clean the hearts are the awliyaullah, the tasawwuf, whose majalis, their job and function is to clean the hearts from within. That's the objective. So in our lives, we have love for Allah deep in our hearts. Because when you clean your heart, then the love will come deep into your heart. And then it will be automatic, easy for you to practice. No one will have to remind you. No one will have to run after you, etc. Automatically you'll practice. I remember an event yesterday or 2 days ago. My body started to shake. There were two men, two schoolboys. And you know, even animals don't do these actions. These are Muslim children. They said, we'll give you a lift today. Two boys said, we'll give you a lift today. And there were people we knew. And those two boys were given a lift. They were picked up and they were taken in a park. They said, where are you taking us? To the park. And 25 boys were standing there. They had weapons and they had chains and bars. 25 of them beat those two schoolboys. Imagine their mothers and their parents. They broke their nose and their teeth and beat them. There was blood coming out of their bodies. They broke their bones. And those children don't know how they got saved. Just here, 2 days ago, 25 other youths beat them to a pulp. And they were Muslims and these were Muslims, the two boys. And the 25 were Muslims. Is this humanity? Is this humanity? Is this care and kindness and mercy? Can we imagine we are worse than animals today? Why? Because we've left the deen and we've become worse than animals. But our deen is the foundation of humanity. But we've left it. We don't care for each other. What justice can this be, this action that I've just shared with you? How can we justify this? But there's no shafqat, no kindness, no rahmah in the heart. They're animals, they're fighting over 5 or 10 pounds was the argument. There was a little bit of a tussle at school and they fought over a few pounds to take the revenge. The 15, 25 of them waiting in the park. They lured them, they beat them so much. Allah knows best what the weapons they had and they were big-headed and they left the park. Ah, we beat them and they left in their cars. This is not a new thing. You see this, pick up the paper and read this every day. This happens. Because nobody has kindness. Our jails, the jails by chance, and mostly Muslims are in the jails, proportionately. If we look at the percentage. But okay, fair enough. The world is full of impurity, you could say, and attractions and bad actions. Oh, we've come here and it's bad here. Well, let's go back to where we came from. It's even worse there. So let's not say it's where we live. Allah Ta'ala said that wherever you live, I'll give you a tariqah, the method, protect your hearts and never leave my dhikr. Allah says, your heart will continue to be improved and purified and your heart will be full of kindness and mercy. And you'll be so kind to even non-Muslims. You'll have love to give them assistance and help. They'll say, look how you are giving us favors, you're helping us, you're so azim, you're so great. How comes you care for me, they'll ask. How comes you got mercy? And what is the reason for the disease in our hearts? Why is this happening in our society and lives and our families? Because our hearts are spoilt. Today, if we pay attention to our hearts, make effort, go to the Wali Allah, sit in the majalis, learn dhikr, do dhikr, work on your heart, and alhamdulillah, automatically every day your heart will become pure and better. You will feel it. The kindness will come in your heart. Purity will come in your heart. And mercy will come in your heart. Look at you. You are brothers who are the part of the dhikr jamaat. Some of you have come here 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And now compare yourself to now before you started doing dhikr. Don't you see change in your life? Don't you see mercy? Was it ever that you were like this? For example, you have a car. Imagine him. You are traveling in a car and you don't care. You didn't care about your car before. It was dirty. Now your car, it scratches a little bit. You don't say it's your fault. The other person for you say, sorry, it's my fault. Look, here's some money and I recompense you. And what created this in your heart? The rahmah, the mercy and the kindness, the dhikr of Allah created it. Before, when you used to hit other people's cars or used to beat people or break their teeth or nose and you didn't used to care. But when they started doing dhikr of Allah, totally soft and kind, and lower his head and shoulders than those same people. Sorry I hit you. Sorry I beat you. They say, what's happened to you? You used to hit us and joke us and mock us. And they look at his power and his muscles and his energy. But he says, no, I'm nothing. I'm not strong. You are better than me. Forgive me for what I did to you. Because this is humanity. Allah Ta'ala says, if we implement this solution in the whole of our society and do dhikr regularly, daily, and we consider it as part of our life, every man and woman, as a medicine, just like we take capsules and paracetamol and sugar capsules and vitamins and blood pressure capsules, if we think that we are all ill and we are all permanent patients, we're animals and we don't have the capacity to do good. And if we get the opportunity to do bad, we will do bad to other people. We always say, me first. For example, even if there's something left over, I say, no, give it to me. I want everything first. Look, let's host a dinner outside. And you have to say to people, look, eat carefully and slowly. There are 12 people are eating. We need to share. So isn't it shameful? We have to remind each other that eat slowly. Let the guests eat first and you wait and don't eat too much. Do we have to remind each other? Does Islam tell us we have to stand up and announce to the Muslims? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We should have care for others first. We have to look at people's faces and we see prostration of salah, mihrab on their foreheads and their Quran, and they claim to have knowledge. But Rasulullah said that don't look at the abundance of salah and ibadah. This will not take us to paradise. Rather, the peace and the purity and the love and the kindness of the heart will take us to paradise. Rahmah, mercy and kindness. Come sit in the gathering of the walis of Allah, my sisters and brothers. Learn dhikr. Otherwise on the day of judgment, all of this ibadah that we are relying on, and we think we're big-headed and we're the best and pious, this will disappear like the thin air. Rasulullah came to this earth to teach us this. Today these young people who stand and kill others and beat others, they don't have minds and brains, they've lost the plot. Everyone thinks I'm the best and I'm better. The father hasn't corrected his heart, nor did his grandfather, nor did his mother, nor did the children. People don't know what is dhikr, what is remembrance of Allah, how to purify the heart, to make the heart soft. They're not aware of the heart. Eating, drinking, that's all they know. And poison is brewing in their hearts, and such bad actions are coming out in society. It's destroyed society. Destroyed. And the dunya, non-Muslims, when they open the Quran and they look at the Quran, they see a different education and ta'lim. And our characters are extreme opposite of the spectrum. They say, what's the reason for this? Because nobody's taught us. No one's educated us. Or we don't listen. We don't want to learn. We don't want to implement. This is not the case. So it's very important part of our deen, our daily lives, is dhikr of Allah. It's a critical, fundamental, and a compulsory part of life. Where it takes a person to Ibrahim, has Abu Musa radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. It's muttafaqa alayhi hadith. And he stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that people, those people who come to our masjids or pass by our masjids, those people who come to our shopping centers or pass by our marketplaces, this is the hadith. Those who come to our mosques or pass by our masjids or come to our marketplaces or pass by our marketplaces. And if that person in his hand has an arrow, you know, like has a weapon, isn't it? An arrow, bow and arrow, that in those days and ages. And if he has that in his hand and he has like a metal frame with a bow, and he says, if somebody has that bow and arrow, then remember, the person who has the arrow, if he's got that in his hand, then with strength, he needs to keep the next part hidden. May not be that he gives pain to somebody else when he sees that this person's got a weapon in his hand. He's got the bow and the arrow in his hand. So what is this ibadah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to the believers? What Quran did he recite? What did he teach here? Think for a moment. What is the teaching of this hadith? Very deep point comes from this hadith. Very valuable and precious. That the human being is so valuable. A human being. Non-Muslim, Muslim. So much manners. That anything I've got in my hand, it shouldn't even touch that person. He shouldn't be able to see that. That you will commit a sin. That you will put fear into that person's heart. That you gave pain to another person. And we think, oh, it's a small thing. What sort of education this will say? Oh, what? But Rasulullah says, this is Sahih al-Bukhari, Muslim hadith, Sahih. Sahirith, that be careful if you're going past the masjid in the masjid marketplace. Once the Rasulullah was sitting, another waqi'ah event comes to my mind, and my heart was so full of joy when I listened to and read this. And this is, alhamdulillah, if you got jazba and taste of iman, then your eyes will come full of moisture between the mu'min and the mu'minat. There was a time, I think there was an expedition, there was some sort of clash, and Rasulullah was sitting on a high position at that time. And his hand was the flag, the standard. And the Sahaba Kram, they were passing by. And this is the sketch that I'm telling you in front. And the Sahaba Kram are passing through. And Rasulullah sat on a high place. And he put his feet like this together, his blessed feet. And one companion, they thought this is the time of the expedition. And every Sahabi is walking in his own way with a camel or with the transport. And they've got the libas on. And you know the metal sort of armor, somebody's got metal shoes or armor or shields, you know, like the soldiers at that time. And they're walking with speed, everyone's busy. And there was one companion at that time, and he was also passing by. And obviously, and he was wearing his armor, and he was ready and prepared. Obviously, you have to become like this in a bit. And Rasulullah ﷺ was sitting in the place when that sahabi passed by, that his feet of that sahabi, this shoe, and they were like metal underneath. And Rasulullah ﷺ, they touched the beautiful soft feet of the Prophet ﷺ, may I be sacrificed on Rasulullah's feet and his beautiful, the blessed feet of Rasulullah ﷺ. And his feet at that time, he had nothing on, no armor. And that metal splinter came into the foot of Rasulullah ﷺ. Then obviously there would have been pain on the foot. And suddenly the blood flowed out. And the blood started to come out. And the Sahabi was distressed at that time. What have I done? So much pain came to the Prophet ﷺ. Even then, Rasulullah ﷺ smiled and just knocked the Sahabi on his shoulder and said, "You've just given me pain, my companion. A lot of pain you've given to me." He just said it like that, nicely and softly. And that was the end of the matter. And this is the deen that came from Rasulullah ﷺ, the rahmah, the kindness and the consideration and the mercy. That Sahabi who's an ashik of the Prophet ﷺ, and there he fell, he's so sad. And Nabi ﷺ, rahmatul lil alameen. And now see what happens. The Sahabi, he left there. Obviously, the Rasulullah ﷺ, they put the bandage on there, the blood came out. And then he went to his tent. And half the time of the day had gone, and he sat there with his head in his hands, and he took his armor off, and he went into prostration. He started to cry, that how did I do this? And I gave pain to the Prophet. And although he hadn't done it purposely, it was just an accident, and he's thinking, and Jibreel alayhi salam is about to come. How Allah is going to be upset with me? Jibreel is going to come, and I've pained the Prophet, and blood's come out of his body. He's got pain, and he's thinking, he's shrieking, he's lamenting. And the evening came, the night came, all night long he cried. He shuddered and shook. What have I done? He's the Nabi, the greatest prophet. Allah said in the Quran that don't speak loud in front of him, and I've given him pain. Allah said don't speak loud in front of him, and I'll give you the punishment. And what have I done? What's going to be decided against me? How will I please Allah? And there's a clash from both sides. He's got fear of Allah's azab, and also he's so sorry for giving pain to Rasulullah. Only the true ashik can understand this feeling. And his night passed, and the next day came, the sun rose, and he is not eating nor drinking. He's so upset, extremely distressed, crying, his eyes are swollen, totally at loss. And the evening came, then a call came. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu said, "Oh, where's that companion who gave the wound to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's foot, that his armor, the foot touched him?" When that voice came to his ear, he said, "Oh, that's it, now I'm going to get punished. I'm going to get punished now. What do I do? What's the punishment that's going to be given to me?" The order and the decision, he came out, he was shaking, he said, "Bilal, it was me." He said, "Come, you're being called. You've been called. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has called you." So he said, "My feet couldn't even walk. I couldn't even raise my legs. I don't know how I reached there. I can't tell you." He said, "I was scared and afraid. And I came to the tent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw me, he said, 'Come here.' And he said, I went forward. And I didn't know what was going to happen to me then. What was about to occur. And what Allah Ta'ala had, for example, decided for me." He said, "I went, I was quiet, I was silent, I stood there, Rasulullah ﷺ. And when I saw his blessed face, I was afraid at that time. Then when I saw that Rasulullah ﷺ was smiling," subhanAllah, shafqat, kindness. Look at the kindness. And then listen further. He said that, "I was thinking, how shall I ask for forgiveness? What shall I do? I couldn't even think of the words. I was thinking of the words to say." And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Are you okay? Are you fine?" He said, "Me? Oh, are you okay, Prophet?" He said, "You." He said, "Nothing's happened to me." Rasulullah said that, "I knocked you, didn't I, on the shoulder? And I was all night thinking that why did I knock you with what was in my hand? Maybe I gave you pain." Look at the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Subhanallah, maybe I gave you pain mentally, physically, that how did from my hand knock you?" He said, "Oh, Prophet, I can't even remember you knocked me." He said, "No, I remember that I called you and I knocked you on the side." And the Sahabi saying, "I was watching that even then the Prophet ﷺ's wound was emitting blood." And he said, "I started to shriek and cry." And Rasulullah said, where did I pain you?" He said, "No, Prophet of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed on you. I had no pain. You didn't hit me." He said, "I gave you pain." Rasulullah said, "Come close." He said, "I went close." He said, "Lift up your shirt. I want to see. I haven't given you no wound or any mark or anything on your body." And he said, Rasulullah looked, and then he stood me up. He said that, "My heart feels that you embrace me." Subhanallah.
Among the prophets, he gained the title of mercy. Subhanallah. Among the prophets, he gained the title of mercy. And he would fulfill the desires of the poor. He would, subhanallah, he would fulfill the desires of the poor. Among the prophets, he gained the title of mercy, and he would fulfill the desires of the poor. He would fulfill the desires of the poor. He, among the prophets, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gained the title of mercy. He came down from the cave of Hira to his people. He came down from the cave of Hira to his people sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and brought with him an all curing remedy, and brought with him the way of life solution, a solution and a remedy for the people. But we've left this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the Quran, we've left the Quran, the thing that's to give us the cure, that was to make us understand, that's come out of our minds, that's come out of our ruh, out of our soul, out of our hands. That's totally we've made a temporary and fake deen. My brothers, which Nabi's ummah do we belong to? His shafqat, his kindness, his rahmah, his mercy, his ta'aleem, his education that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to us. Can you imagine? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also allow our hearts to be affected with rahmah and mercy and kindness, my brothers. And it doesn't just come like this. It doesn't just come like this. The love a mu'min has with his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone has love. Every Muslim has love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to get close, we have to have the akhlaq and the conduct and the manners. And we need to go towards that akhlaq and go on to that journey. And how long will it take? If a person does not make effort and doesn't make the right effort. For example, if we don't take the dirt and the impurity out of our hearts, then the heart will never be clean. We need to make it lazim, compulsory, the night and the morning, the dhikr, that when the impurity comes into our heart during the day, then during the day and the night we do the dhikr of Allah. So in the night if the dirt comes on, and then in the morning we do dhikr and we wash the heart. Then during the day, when the dirt comes onto the heart, because we have to go in the world, in the dunya, when we come back in the evening, sit in the dhikr of Allah and wash the heart again. Morning and night, wala dhikr Allahi akbar, Allah's dhikr is a great, great action, the great, great ni'mah. We need to be grateful, grateful millions of times over that Allah Ta'ala has given us this methodology, and always we need to analyze ourselves, dissect ourselves, and look under the microscope ourselves, that where am I? Where am I stood? When will death come? What is lacking in me? How can I fulfill this thing that is lacking? That why is there something lacking in my life? Why is my tongue dirty? Why don't I have mercy towards other people? Why don't I love other people? Why don't I understand how to sacrifice for others, to give for others, and take less and say, look, you first brother and I'm afterwards. You first sister, I'm afterwards. You take first and I'll take after. Why does shaitan say, you first, you first, you first. Me, me, me. Alhamdulillah, let it finish. But I need to take the rewards by giving to others first. Let's look at this. Allah Ta'ala won't kill me, allow me to die hungry. Allah will give me better and compense. He will give me compensation when my heart is made with the dhikr of Allah, and you will become soft and it will melt and all the good things will come from your life. There's no other reason. This is the education of the Sufis. The Sufis, the great awliya Allah, have taught this subject and spread it, and this is the objective, that through dhikr of Allah, the whole of the population of the world wakes up, the Sufi, the teachers, and they say, correct yourselves, reform yourselves, purify your hearts. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.